praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. And praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Good morning, Taylor Nation. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those who are watching online. And good morning to everyone here in the sanctuary. We bring you greetings from Taylor Tabernacle, where we are streaming live from West Philadelphia, where the pastor, Jonathan E. Ford, is our pastor. And I just want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. And want to thank God for allowing us to see another First Sunday. The Sunday where we set aside for our communion service. So as we prepare our hearts and we prepare our minds, for those of you who are at home, we ask that you start to prepare yourselves as well. As we get ready to move into the communion service, but for now I will ask everyone, please stand. We will open with prayer, then I will be reading scripture, then our confession of faith from our deaconess Helena, and then our prayer over the consecration of our sacraments by our deacon Todd McCoy. As the deer panteth over the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessing of seeing just one more day, a day that you have prepared for us. And although we do not know what is in store, we put our faith and our trust in the one that has prepared it. So, Lord, we lift up to you all we love and just ask for you to just remember them. May your peace and joy fill our cups till it runs overflowing. For we thank you for being our healer. We thank you for being our protector. We thank you for being our provider. We just thank you for every good thing that comes from your hands. We commit this day to you and ask that you go before us. In the name of the only begotten Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And our scripture reading will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. I'm sorry, coming from verses 23 through 34. And if you have it, you will find these words. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whosoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if you were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen.
Repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When Deacon Abrams read the scripture earlier, it says that we should carefully examine ourselves, discerning the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, forgive us our sins. Christ Jesus, forgive us for our disobedience. Lord, right now that we would reflect on ourselves and have a humble, repentant heart, that we could receive you. O Lord, forgive us. That we do this in remembrance of you with a repentant heart. That we do so with a humble heart. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the things we know we have done that is wrong, and for those that we do not. That, Lord, as we partake of the bread which represents your body and the juice that represents your shed blood, that we would be worthy to take communion. And that as we take it, we would get one with you, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you told us to do this in remembrance of you. That we would tell of you as we receive you. Unify us as one, Christ Jesus. Cover us with the blood that you sacrificed. That we would receive you, not to condemnation, but the joy of being in your presence and being the recipients of your wonderful love. We pray over the sacraments right now, Christ Jesus, that we know we are receiving you, not food and drink. Forgive us right now that we would be worthy to receive you despite all that we have done. Forgive our sins right now, Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Have your sacraments with you. We're going to start with the bread, the wafer that is on the top of your sacrament cup. Thank God for those of you that are joining us online this morning. We're going to ask that whatever you have set aside, whatever you have prepared as bread representing the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would take it now. Jesus Christ told his disciples on that great Passover night, he said, this bread represents his own broken body, which he freely gave and offered up on the cross for our salvation and our redemption. Told his disciples, eat ye all of it. The scriptures also tell us that on that same night, he took the cup and he said, this now represents the new covenant, the new agreement that now exists between God and you, represents his shed blood, which paid the price for the remission of our sins. Told his disciples, drink ye all of it. Lord, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for the price that you paid for our sins. We thank you for your willingness to stand in the gap between God and us. Thank you for being the meeting place where our humanity can meet with God's divinity. And we can be changed and become like him. Thank you for being the last Adam, in whose image we are striving to be conformed. We look forward to and we long for that day when all the children of God shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Finally, we'll be made like you. Receive bodies suitable for dwelling in the New Jerusalem. So Lord, we consecrate ourselves. We set our bodies aside, not for our will, not for our purpose, but that we might glorify God in our bodies, with our mouth, with our minds, in our hearts. That we might be beacons of light and hope in this dark world. And that the light of the sun, the S-O-N, might shine brightly upon us and through us, that the world may see good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Thank you for this communion. Thank you for this Lord's table. Thank you for the koinonia we have, not only amongst each other, but what we have with you. Thank you for the unity in the Spirit. Thank you for the agape love that flows breast to breast and cheek to cheek. The love that stands, shines brightly in this world. Oh God, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we praise you for who and what you are. Thank you for another communion. Lord, help us. for another 30 days to walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called unto Christ Jesus. Help us to walk right. Help us to talk right. Help us to live right. That your name might receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, now that we've come around the table, even as you spoke to your disciples on that Passover night, speak now even to us, your disciples, your followers. Share out of the Word of God something to encourage us, to strengthen us, that we might go forward until you come again. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of your Son, the Lamb of God. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the tabernacle. Thank God for another Communion Sunday. You have your Bibles. We're going to the Word of God. This morning we're in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark. Coming out of the 5th chapter, verse 25. Very familiar story. I'm talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. We're going to be adding to the witness out of the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 15 through 16. As you find that, I am going to invite you to stand with me this Sunday morning. I know you just sat down, but now you got to stand back up, but hopefully this will be your last stand. If you stand after this, that's because you want to stand, not because I'm asking you to stand. Amen. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Amen. Let's add to the witness by the Hebrew writer, chapter 4. We'll just add in verse 14 just for the fun of it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. This Sunday morning, I want to talk about the untouchables. The untouchables. When I think of the term untouchable, my mind is drawn to the era of prohibition in the United States, because it was then when federal agent Elliot Ness set out to stop the ruthless Chicago gangster Al Capone. And because of rampant corruption in the city's police force, Agent Ness assembled a small hand-picked team to help him. And many referred to this group of lawmen as the Untouchables because they sometimes had to operate outside of the law. For a more contemporary reference, my mind is also drawn to MC Hammer and his hit song, You Can't Touch This. Just so y'all don't think I'm older than what I am. It was this song in which he declares that no other entertainer can touch or compare his rapping and dance style, which was highlighted by his famous baggy pants as seen in his video. While both of these individuals are seen as untouchable in a positive light, the primary character in today's sermon is considered untouchable in a negative light because she is a woman with an issue of blood. Amen. Now, just to set some context, if you weren't with us on last Sunday, Jesus has just returned from crossing over the Sea of Galilee, where on the other side, he had healed a demonic in the graveyard in the region of Gadarenes. He is now, having crossed back over to this northwest portion of the Sea of Galilee, he is now confronted by a ruler of the synagogue called Jairus. Jairus has implored him to come to his home and heal his daughter. But en route, Jesus is interrupted by this woman and her issue. And let me say this, this statement is really worth the whole sermon. And I'm going to give it to you right up front. Real ministry occurs in the interruptions of life. I got one witness. That, at least I'm not by myself. Real ministry occurs in the interruptions of life. I know oftentimes we are so concerned about our agenda and our normal course of life and our normal comings and goings, but real ministry in the kingdom of God often happens in interruptions. And so I say that as we look at this story and as we look at last week's story and as we look at next week's stories, all of the ministry that occurs is as a result of an interruption. Okay? And I say that so that we, as followers of Christ, that we too can be open to and sensitive to the interruptions of life. Not only the interruptions in our lives, but the interruptions in the lives of others. Because it is in those moments that we have the greatest opportunity to shine the light of God's love. Are you with me this Sunday? So it says, Jesus is now on his way to Jairus' house, and in verse 25 tells us that this woman had a condition. And it's a condition that she had for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had, and at the end of it was no better, but had even grown worse. In New Testament times, it was common practice in difficult medical cases for people to consult many different doctors and receive a variety of treatments. It's what we call today a second opinion. The supposed cures were often conflicting, abusive, and many times made the ailment worse instead of better. Luke, the gospel physician, in his writings in chapter 8, verse 43, suggests that the woman was not helped because her condition was possibly incurable. And her situation, as quoted here by Mark, had gone from bad to worse over the course of 12 long years. Now, according to Jewish law, a woman was considered ceremonially unclean for 7 days after her monthly period. But if she had a protracted bleeding problem, as this woman did, she remained unclean throughout its duration. In addition, anyone who came in contact with her during this period was banished from the community until evening. And this is found in Leviticus, the 15th chapter. So as a result, just so we can understand this woman's plight better, this bleeding woman and whoever had contact with her were expelled from their community and were considered untouchable until their purification. At the very time that she needed companionship, the very time that she needed fellowship, the law labeled her an outcast and considered her unclean and untouchable. And in her case, this didn't just last for a week or even for a month, but it had gone on now for 12 long years. Can you imagine being forced to live alone for 12 years? Can you imagine being isolated from family, friends, being isolated from social gathering and even religious worship because you were considered untouchable? Can anyone here relate to being untouchable? Maybe not because of a sickness similar to this woman, but somehow considered different or strange or not like other people, and they call you unusual. This woman is relatable to all of us because I believe many of us have at some point in our lives been labeled untouchable. Untouchable in that others have chosen not to associate with us, not to fellowship with us, not to talk with or communicate or have anything to do with us, oftentimes because of a condition we have no control over. I wish I had my real church here this Sunday, because I need you to get this, because I need you to see that this woman is like every woman and like every man, because we all have something, whether in our past, whether in our present, and even sometimes in our future, that will cause other people to label us as being untouchable. Verse 27 tells us, says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So here is a woman that has been isolated for 12 years, shunned, considered an outcast, but yet in her isolation, she hears about Jesus. So here's my word to my church this Sunday morning. And that is, keep telling your testimony. Because by it or through it, somebody will hear about the goodness of the Lord. If there's somebody next to you, just tell them, keep telling it. Keep telling your testimony. Keep giving your praise report, because by it, and it may be someone not in your direct view, but someone who overhears your story, someone who overhears your testimony, and they hear about Jesus, and hope is birthed in their life. Are you with me this Sunday? It's important for us to keep telling our story, because the Roman writer tells us that faith cometh by hearing. I wish I had a witness. But in order to hear, someone's got to be telling the story. Though she was isolated from the crowd, yet she overheard the conversation of the crowd, and that was that Jesus was back in town. Jesus, this son of Nazareth, this carpenter's boy who was preaching like they had never heard, who was healing the sick like they had never seen, who was giving sight to the blind, which they had never thought possible, was now back in town. Because of what she heard, the Bible says she went down to the sea, mixed herself in the crowd, trying to conceal her condition, her ailment, and fought through, even in her weakness, even in her pain, she fought through this massive crowd and touched his garments. When I read this, I thought about, we used to sing this song in the old church. We used to sing, "Reach out and touch the Lord." Anybody? No, I'm looking at the, I got some that may not. It says, "Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you've got to go at the risk of harm to yourself, at the risk of being ostracized even further. You realize this may be your only chance at getting saved, at getting healed, so you've got to reach out and touch the Lord. I told you on last Sunday, when you submit a proper prayer request, the first requirement is you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. You got to come where he is and risk touching the Savior. So she comes, she reaches out, she touches him. The story tells us now, verse 28, she tells us now the reason why she did this. And it says, "For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Everyone had labeled her an outcast, considered her an outsider. Everyone said she was unclean and therefore untouchable, but she said, I wish I had a real church. I've given you the church. But she said, if I only may touch his clothes, what King James calls the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Look at somebody and just tell them, what you say matters. Tell them again. They didn't get it. What you say matters. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some in the crowd say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist." But Jesus said, "Okay, enough with all of that. Who do you say that I am?" Jesus said it, when I deal with people that I am in relationship with, the only thing that matters is what you say. How many know you'll have what you'll say you'll have? You can only do what you say in your heart and mind that you will do. And this woman, in spite of her condition, in spite of her predicament, because she had heard about what Jesus was able to do, said in her heart, "I believe if I touch him, I'll be made well." And at that moment, faith was burst in her heart. And she believed that Jesus could in fact heal her condition. The woman with the issue of blood does what every disciple of Jesus should in fact do. And that is, she heard, she came, and she touched. She heard, she came, and she touched. She heard because of her hearing, faith was birthed in her heart. She came to Jesus. The Bible tells us that if you draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. And not only once she got in her presence, his presence, she reached out and touched him. She made a connection. She established a relationship between her and the Savior. And that is what all of us should be striving to do. How much more can we hear? Because the more we hear, the more our faith can grow. How much more are we striving to get into his presence? Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How many of us are striving to reach out and touch the Savior? Reach out and establish a connection. The reason why Jesus wants you to come to him is that he wants to establish a one-on-one relationship with you. He wants you to know him, and he wants to know you. Here it is, verse 29. She gets in the crowd. She edges. She pushes her way through. She finally touches his garment. And verse 29 said, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. With one touch, 12 years of shame, 12 years of frustration, 12 years of isolation was resolved by the power emanating from Jesus Christ. With one touch. I wish I had a real church. Tell somebody it only takes one touch. If you could just touch the master one time, it'll reverse everything that has been going wrong in your life. One touch from the master can heal every sickness. One touch from the master can break every curse over you and your family. One touch from the master can turn everything around in your life. This woman, she's a witness that with one touch, everything changed. One touch, everything turned around. One touch, she was made whole. Somebody shout yes. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm healed. All it took was one touch. Now I'm healed. All it took was one touch. Now I'm better. All it took was one touch. I'm back on my feet. It only took one touch. I'm back in my place. It only took one touch from Jesus. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 30. The text said, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, what King James famously calls virtue, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Disciples were puzzled by this because they said, Master, don't you see this multitude thronging around you? The crowd, this word thronging means everybody was reaching to touch Jesus. Everybody was pushing or angling to be able to touch Jesus. And the disciples said, not only are they trying, but some are breaking our perimeter. Meaning the disciples were trying to shield Jesus from the crowd. They were trying to protect him and Jairus as they traveled the road. But it didn't stop the crowd from reaching over them, reaching around them, because everybody wanted to touch Jesus. But what the disciples didn't understand is that Jesus was not referring to a physical touch. He was referring to a spiritual touch. Someone had touched him, not with their hands, fingers, or thumbs, but they had touched him with the finger of faith. Somebody had made their way through the crowd and the masses and had reached out and touched the Savior as he was going by. The finger of faith had touched Jesus. The finger of faith had laid hold to the Savior. And with one touch, the woman was healed. And with one touch, power went out of Jesus. So much so that he said, "Who touched me?" Jesus wanted to know who fought through the crowd. Jesus wanted to know who had pressed their way to establish a connection with me. They didn't just want my presence, but they wanted a real connection. Get this, get verse 32. Here's the whole sermon. Verse 32 says, he looked around to see her. Get it? Who had done this thing. Now, verse 30 says, he looked at the crowd and said, who? Almost indicating as if he did not know. Let's go to Bible class. And I've said this I don't know how many times in Bible class. Anytime God asks a question, it is not because he does not know. But oftentimes he asks a question of the student to inspire learning in both their heart and mind, so that they can know and see the world the way God himself sees it. So when he said the first time, who touched me? The disciples and the whole crowd got it wrong. So like a good teacher, he didn't give up on the class, nor did he give up on the students. He said, let me sharpen my pencil a little bit. He said, this time I'm going to ask this question. Where is the woman? He was trying to let them know, I know who touched me, and I want to create an opportunity for that person to come forward and secure exactly what they need from the Lord. Look at somebody and said, he knows. Here it is. Before she could ever raise her hand, before she could ever say her name, Jesus already knew who she was. And so my message to all of the untouchables listening today is that God sees you where you are. Somebody help me preach. My message to every untouchable person, not only does God see you, God knows exactly where you are. Not only does he see, not only does he know, but he also knows exactly what you're going through. Look at somebody and say, God knows. God sees you where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows. And if you don't believe me, I brought a witness, another woman out of the book of Genesis by the name of Hagar, Genesis 16 and 13. Then Hagar called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. She called him El Roy, the God who sees, for she said, I have also seen him who's seen me. Hagar realized God knew exactly where she was. Hagar knew that God saw her right where she was. And she called him Elroy. She called his name Elroy, the God who sees me where I am. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. I got to get out of this. Here it is. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before her, before him, and told him the whole truth. She said, he got me. He no longer asked who, but he said her. She said, it's got to be me. How could he see me with all of these people thronging around him? How could he know someone like me when he's walking with the rulers of the synagogue? How could he see someone like me? I haven't even been at church in the last 12 years. How could God see someone like me? Doesn't he know I have an issue? Doesn't he know I have a problem? Doesn't he know that I'm untouchable? But yet, Jesus called her out. Look at your neighbor and say, he's calling you out. And all he wants you to do is what they want you to do when you go to court. And that is simply to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because the truth of the matter is that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I didn't heal myself. I didn't fix my own situation. But the God who sees me, he released power. He released his anointing. And I've been made whole. The Lord did this. My God did this. Jesus did this for me. Look at somebody and say, tell the truth. Because the truth is, even when we are considered untouchable, even when we are considered outcast and outsiders and unable to have connection with anybody, and the world has labeled us as untouchable, but I'm glad that the Lord is touchable. Look at somebody and say, we serve a touchable God. The Hebrew writer tells us that we have a high priest who in fact can be touched.
by the feeling of our infirmity, and because he can be touched, therefore we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. This woman with her issue came boldly through the crowd. This woman with her problem didn't let anything stop her. This woman fought her way boldly into the presence of the Lord Most High. Somebody shout, yeah! Your God can be touched by how you feel. Why? Because he cares for you. Why suffer in silence? Why suffer alone? As if there is no help, as if there is no deliverance, as if there's no protection. Your God is able. All you got to do is reach out and touch. Reach out and make a connection. Because his name is El Roy, the God who sees me where I am. His name is Elohim, the Lord my God. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. He's able. He's able. Your God is able. No longer shall I be untouchable. Now, I didn't say you would touch me. I didn't even say you would like me. But I have a God who knows where I am. I have a God that knows what I'm going through. I have a God that cares how I feel. And he's able. They always tell us how the holidays are some of the most difficult days, because these days are celebrated with family, celebrated with friends, celebrated with co-workers. So can you imagine how this woman must have felt for 12 years at every Christmas, 12 years every Thanksgiving, 12 years every Jewish celebration? Alone, isolated, no invitations, no invites. Because they considered her untouchable. But one day, the Lord came passing by. I don't know about you, I'm just glad that one day the Lord passes on by. I don't know about you, I got saved one Sunday because the Lord, he wasn't even coming to see about me, but I'm glad that I reached out. And all of my loneliness, all of my isolation, all of my fear, and all of my shame, with just one touch, I became a friend of God. With one touch, I was adopted into the royal family of God himself with one touch. I became a part in the body of Christ. So that's my message this Sunday. To all of you who are fearing, worrying, and upset about the coming holidays. Nowhere to go. No family to call your own. No dinner plans. No weekend plans. Another holiday. On the couch alone by myself. I came to tell you that his name is Elroy, and he sees you. He knows about you, and he cares about you. Don't you dare spend another holiday by yourself. All you got to do is reach out and touch. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. With one touch, the Savior can turn your life around. I know what I'm talking about because he did it in my life. Sometimes the most loneliest place in the world is in a crowd. Crowd at church, crowd at work, crowd in the neighborhood, yet nobody knows, yet nobody cares, but I'm glad. I got to get out of this sermon. I got to get out of this. This sermon is only for people that know what it's like to be untouchable. For all of you that have always been in the in crowd, the it crowd. Come back next Sunday. I'll preach a sermon for you. But this Sunday is for the outcast. Those that have been ostracized. Those that have been cast out of the fellowship. Kicked out of the church. Kicked out of their family. Kicked off the job. Yet God knows exactly. He knows exactly where I am. God knows exactly where you are. Will you stand with me all over the church? If you're at home, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Because this time around, we're going to break the holiday curse. This time around, we're going to break the devil's grip on our holiday celebration. Oh, I don't celebrate the holidays. Oh, I don't do nothing much for Christmas. That was then. But this is now. Today, God wants to touch you. Today, the Savior is passing by. Why won't you reach out today? Why don't you make a connection right now? The Savior is passing by. The Lord of glory is moving in your direction. It's time for you to make a connection. So if you're with us this Sunday morning and you've never made a connection with the Savior, if you're with us this Sunday online or here in our sanctuary and you've never touched the Savior, I invite you to do it today. I invite you to do it right now. Reach out and make a faith connection, not a physical connection, but a spiritual connection. Reach out in faith. Say out of your own heart, I believe that the Lord is able to save me from sin. I believe that God can save me from myself. I believe. The power of life and death is in your mouth. If you would just reach out and touch him. Touch him for your salvation. Touch him for your deliverance. Touch him for your breakthrough. Touch him for a financial miracle. Touch him for a comeback. Touch him so that he can lift you up. I'm telling you, he wants to do it. And he wants to do it right now. Our God and our Father, thank you for being Elroy. Thank you for seeing me as I am. Thank you for knowing exactly where I am. Thank you for caring about how I feel. So we reach out to you because thou alone has the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Like this woman, she had been everywhere and spent everything. We don't come to you as our last hope. We turn to you because you are our greatest hope. Our hope of everlasting life. So this morning, satisfy our mouth with good things. Encourage our hearts with the melodies of heaven. Inspire our mind with the wisdom of the Word of God. And cause us to be made better and not worse. Give us joy in place of sadness. Give us a song of praise instead of a heart of bitterness. And Lord, help us this season to tell the story. Help us to go and tell it over every hill, over every mountain. Help us to go and tell what the Lord has done for me. So Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We give your name the highest praise. Come on, children of God. Come on, let's give God our best praise. Come on, give him your best. Give him your best. Your best praise. Your best worship, your best glory. He deserves the highest praise. He deserves the highest praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, O Lord. For those who are in the sanctuary or who are watching online, or for someone who may look at this, not necessarily this morning, but at some other time, if you are seeking salvation, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believeth in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner and believe in Christ Jesus. And that's actually, if you go back and look at the scripture, it's in the story that the passage is preached this morning. Because when Jesus looked at the woman, she told him the truth about herself. Amen? Amen. So if you are seeking salvation, we ask you to look at Romans 10, 9, and 10. We ask you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And then we ask that you would contact us. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can reach out to the pastor, the ministers, the deacons. If you are participating online, you can go to our church website. There should be a link on that YouTube page or the Facebook page. It's www.taylortabernacle.com. You can hit the contact us link. Or you can also call the church at 215-748-4578. Leave a message. We will reach out to you and help you in your journey to reach through everything that's been going on that's been in your way to touch Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 What a wonderful word. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful word. For those of you that are watching and are here today, as you encounter somebody who's searching, seeking, tell them to go to the website and watch this sermon right here. Amen? Amen. With that, we are going to transition to the next part of our service. And it is, need a bugle song, like, offering time. Maybe we get that sound effect one day from the musician. But it is offering time, amen, which is another part of worship. Amen? Amen. Now, we've been, you know, going through COVID, but there are several ways that you may give. Amen. First, you can give by text message. You can text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R 61 to the phone number 73256. And you'll receive a link and instructions for how you can give. You can give through our website. Please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there on the website. You can also give through U.S. mail by sending a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. Amen. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are two baskets, one for the speaker's offering and one for the tithes and offering, right on the windowsill next to the side door. And if you could just place your envelope or your gift right there on your way out. Amen. Amen. I get to do a little bit more this morning, which is I am going to give us our announcements for the month of December. Amen? Amen. So we started with today was Holy Communion, but starting tomorrow is our final 12-hour fast. So you want to call into the church conference line tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and then at 6 p.m. And we're doing that this entire week with our fast. And for this month, we will have different presenters, I believe, every single day. Please tune in and join us. If you've missed the whole year, you can still come and join us tomorrow. Amen. Get a word of encouragement in the morning. Get a word of encouragement in the meeting at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Amen. Amen. On December 12th, afternoon fellowship with Bible Union Fellowship, and we're going to be celebrating Pastor Deloach's 16th pastoral anniversary. Bible Union is a block away. What is going to be happening on that Sunday is we're going to have our service at 10, and then we're going to go right down the street, right around the corner, and have service to celebrate Pastor Deloach's anniversary. Amen? Amen? So we want everybody to come out so that we can celebrate and honor her. Amen? They've been very helpful to us. She's been very helpful to our pastor. Let's make sure we come out and we honor her. Amen? Amen. December 19th, morning worship will be with Mainline Reformed Temple and St. Mark's Baptist Church. And guess who's going to be our guest preacher? Our very own Reverend Daryl Scott, who's now Pastor Daryl Scott. Amen. Amen. He's going to be a preacher. And so the details for that is the service will be here. Okay. And so one thing for our members, let's make sure that we accommodate those who come. We will have it opened down here in the sanctuary and up on the third floor. But let's all come out that Sunday. That is the 19th with Mainline Reformed Temple and St. Mark's Baptist Church. Amen. And it added thing is that Rabbi Strauss will give the benediction in Hebrew and in English. Amen. And didn't we benefit from our fellowship this week, learning about light, right? What it really means.
This fellowship has been beneficial for all of us. Amen. So let us come out and support one another. December 26th, the day after Christmas, we'll be here. Amen. Amen. We need to be here. Amen. So December 26th, tune in online. Come on in. Amen. We'll be here. Amen. Amen. December 31st, which is New Year's Eve at 8 p.m., we are going to have a virtual only New Year's Eve service hosted by Reverend Cureton and his family. Amen. Amen. They've asked if you want to reach out, if there's something special you want to add to the presentation they're going to be doing, reach out to them directly. Amen. Amen. I'm hoping, John Mitchell, you're going to do some little solo for us? He's getting better. When you guys come to church and see him, he's much better on the keyboard. Amen. So we know one day he's just going to blow us away. Amen. 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 So on January 2nd, January 9th, and January 16th, Holy Communion each Sunday, the pastor is going to be teaching us about communion on each of these Sundays. Amen. And he wants members to make a special effort to attend. Okay? Amen. Now, granted, we're not going to have the van operating, but if we can get, you know, if you can call somebody else, we can give you a ride, Uber, whatever, bus, whatever you can, but try to make it out. Because when our pastors teach, if Jesus said this, do in remembrance of me, and our pastor's really going to explain what that means, we need to all be here. Amen? Amen. So make that special effort in January. And last announcement, in January of 2022, we're going to be extending our Wednesday night Bible study service from 7 to 8:30 so that it will include prayer service. And the Curitans are going to lead our prayer service. Amen. So we will at least, even though it'll be virtual, we'll be returning some of the things that we did before this pandemic disrupted things. Amen. 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 With that, I'm going to call our pastor back for a benediction, and then we will be dismissed.
God bless you. Shall we all stand? Thank you once again for your attendance and your attention on this Sunday, both here and in person and online. Thank you, Taylor Nation, again for your support of our ministry. Thank you to those of you that are joining us for the first time. We hope that something that we have said or has done has been a blessing to you and to your family. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we depart this place, but not your presence, Holy Spirit, as we walk out of these doors, we ask that you would go with us, to stand by us and to stand up strong in our hearts and give us the boldness required to live for you in this world. Father, bless us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. We'll see you next Sunday.